Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Dr. Jill Hubbard's joining us today. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Steve.
Really glad to be with you.
Yeah,
just
good
you
to be here.
And me. No
I know.
Interference. Anybody
I know.
Else.
That's a rarity.
We can argue without anybody interfering. And I want to just start by saying, hey, it is the last day of the month, and we're closing out January. Need your financial support if possible. And I'll send you Dave's book, Change Your Thoughts, Change Your Life. Thousands of these, I think literally hundreds of thousands have sold. It's a great book, and it's our little way of saying thank you for supporting this ministry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jill, the last time we were
yes.
on, we talked about, we were with Zach Matchett.
That was so much fun.
Yeah, and we had talked way back then about kids, youth, mm-hmm. issues coming up. And, you know, you've raised two of these. And
still
and
raising,
still in
Steve.
Process.
Yeah, still in process.
And I'm still
And do
in
we
process.
Ever stop being a parent? I mean, I talk to, you know, older parents all the time with adult kids, and it goes on. It's
yeah,
just
you know,
different. It changes.
I think there are two types of parenting the adult children. One is they're out there, they're independent, mm-hmm. and you're just kind of a coach and a guide. The other one is they came back.
Right.
And that is so
that is different. Right.
That
they've
they come
regressed.
Back. And, you know, for some, it's something that couldn't be helped. They were doing great.
Mm-hmm.
There was a setback. You couldn't predict it. Maybe, you know, they were working for some big organization. It goes bankrupt. Whatever.
Right.
But then there are others that they just simply were not equipped. And if you're mm-hmm. feeling like you're not equipping your kids, it's not too late. Whatever age they are, find the resource, and you can call us and ask us. We'll give you our best advice on any of that. But I tell you, never, ever underestimate the influence of an adult voice, even when they say, mm-hmm. I don't want to hear.
Even when you think they're not listening. You're right, Steve.
Right.
They actually do listen.
And you don't want to badger them. I mean, if
no.
they say don't call me. Okay, that's the consequences of a lot of different things. But you know, if you still have a voice, you want to be sure that you're careful in what you suggest and believe, absolutely believe, that you have an opportunity to make a difference. Well, let's go to the phones and let's start off right now with Amanda. Amanda calls us Oxnard, California, one of our favorite places. KDAR is the station. Hi, Amanda. Welcome.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call, and may God be with you and strengthen you, your work and everything that you do every day, day by day.
Thank you, Amanda.
Thank you.
My situation has been breaking my mind, my heart. My husband is having he's struggling with same-sex attraction, and he has been suffering bipolar for many years, and he's been under psychiatric care for about 17 years. He was abused when he was a child, and the medication that he has been on, it's generic for methylphenidate. It's generic for Concerta.
Okay.
It's methylphenidate.
Mm-hmm.
And there's two other medications that help him with the depression. And his doctor here locally has been doing wonderful, wonderful with him. There has been struggles with drugs from before, which was cocaine. He has not gone to cocaine use. He has not gone to the alcohol use. But he does...
Okay, hold on. We've got to go to a break. We'll deal with this right after this.
I am just so thankful for this weekend. It's been amazing to see how Satan messes up marriages in so many ways.
My name is Shelley Martinkus, and I want to personally invite you to the Restore Workshop. If you have been affected by betrayal, it might be that your husband has been looking at pornography. It might be an emotional, a physical affair. I would love for you to come join us.
Through Shelley's example, I have seen such transparency. It's just been amazing. I've just been able to let out all the yucky details.
You will leave with hope, with a community of sisters ready to support you, and you will also leave with tools to move you forward on this journey. Please don't hesitate. Pick up the phone, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I would love to see you there.
The Restore Workshop is coming to Orange County, California, March 1st through the 3rd. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
All right. Talking to Amanda. Well, I'm glad you called, Amanda, because here's a situation, and we see these kinds of things happen, where somebody has a real live condition, like bipolar, right?
Yeah.
He has bipolar. Okay. And so then there's medication. It's a real condition. But guess what? He still has to do the right thing. That doesn't mm-hmm. excuse
right.
any action. And you must not ever let his diagnosis be an excuse to enable his doing something that's evil. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
There's still you can't say, okay, well, look, here's this, and I take this medication and all that, and so no wonder. Listen, it doesn't absolve you of anything. You have to figure this out, and so at some point, working with him, being cooperative with him, loving him by allowing things, it becomes worse, or it makes it worse than better. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, so having said that, what is your question for us?
I'm considering leaving him. I approached him, I confronted him because he didn't come to me with the details of what mm-hmm. he was doing. He was hiding. And with the changing of clothes, with the buying of clothes, with things that he was already engaging by putting an ad, wanting to meet another man, mm-hmm. wanting to have that experience. And the texting continued. And I picked up the texting off of his phone. And that's how I came to discover it. Not because he opened up to me. And I'm considering a divorce at this time.
Okay.
And because of my past struggles, I don't want my mind to be leading me into the breaking of a 38-year marriage that we have gone through, the beginning of the struggle from right. alcoholism to...
Got it. So what's the question for us then? Yeah, what's the question for us
yes,
that we get answered
he
for?
Has. If he was abusing his medication, which is Concerta, generic methylphenidate, mm-hmm. would that lower his inhibition? Is it known to do that?
It can have a lot of different effects on different
right,
people.
And I'm wondering too. You know, I mean, Concerta would be one that he could abuse, and since he formerly was addicted to cocaine. This is a stimulant, and so
yes.
You said he's working closely with the doctor, so the doctor's aware that he's abusing this med?
No. No, and he does not want to do that. The reason why
he doesn't want to do what?
Like borrow. Yeah, he started a project on this one house, and it was too much. He's disabled.
Okay.
Because of his bipolar.
Right.
And he was a contractor, full-on contractor, and he was able to take a lot of stresses from
okay.
the work.
Okay.
So we need to give you some advice here, and we're going to do that right now.
I think, you know, if there's secrets from the doctor, with people who are bipolar, I always recommend that a spouse go with them to the doctor because they don't report everything. And part of that is because they like the manic high, and the medication makes them, you know, balanced and even, and they don't get those high highs anymore. Concerta in large doses, I mean, could give you a high, right? So it's one to easily abuse. So it's really important that the doctor be made aware that this is going on. And I'm you know, this is more a drug that people use for ADHD, and so I'm sure the doctor knows what he's doing.
Yes.
You know, in terms of using it for the bipolar as well. So I think there needs to be some discussion about that because he's then, you know, being deceitful about it. And when he's deceitful about one thing, he's going to be deceitful about other things, right?
I confronted him about that, and I said, your doctor needs to know this. I was very gentle with him, and he said, I'm already embarrassed myself enough with you. I don't want to. I'm not ready to be face-to-face with my psychiatrist. And I said, fine, then we can go ahead and search for another, like a marriage counselor. And he, that day that I confronted him, I said, this is not going to be the way that it's going to be handled. It has to come out. It has to come out. Mm-hmm. And we need the help. And so he went on to his laptop, and he chose to take therapy online through the internet. And he did. He stayed for a whole month, which is the month of December.
Okay, but Amanda, let me just stop you right there. I hear someone that is trying to minimize and control
absolutely
the outcome and not, you know, have anybody see too much. So he is still, he's acting like an addict and someone who doesn't want to be found out. And until all the cards are laid down out on the table with the people that know him, you don't go look for a new doctor. If this doctor is competent and has been doing a good job with him and knows him, that's the very person you want to go to and say, okay, we need to come clean, and we're going to lay all the cards out on the table so that we can really get some help. He doesn't really want help. He wants to limp along and do it his own way. And, you know, he does have a lot of issues, and it's heartbreaking, you know, and it's difficult to deal with issues like bipolar. But Steve's right. You know, once you become an adult, you are responsible to deal with whatever has happened to you, even if you weren't the cause of it. And so all the effects of that and all of this addiction stuff, you know, is covering up perhaps his being abused as a child. Right? And you can be, I understand your frustration and saying, gosh, I want to leave, and yet I've invested so much. Right?
And then I don't want to push him towards something that has not happened yet, according to what he even told me this morning.
You wouldn't be doing that.
And I don't want to push him into, like, because of our divorce,
You would not be pushing him toward that because he's already responsible for that.
He's already not telling you the truth.
Right.
So you really have no idea what it is that he's involved with. So,
but do you see how you're held hostage here? Because you're afraid to make a move too strongly in any direction. So he keeps you at bay that way so that he can continue on. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, I'm just saying, and so that's why we're saying don't enable evil.
Right, right. I think, you know, if you're really saying, I can't live this way anymore, then the option really is, let's go to the doctor together. I'll be there with you, but we need to lay the cards out on the table so we can clearly have a chance to help both of us and survive in this marriage. Because without that, it's going to continue to spiral.
Right.
And you're going to get more of the same. And Amanda, I think that you need some support too. I don't know if you're attending, you know, groups for people with issues like bipolar for spouses and family members. The National Institute of Mental Health has groups that they lead in that direction, or Al-Anon, things like that would be really important for you.
You simply must get help for yourself, so that you're making good decisions, so that it's not a codependent thing, it's not an enabling thing. That gives him the best chance ever to truly become the man that he can become. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to Pat, Charleston, South Carolina. Hi, Pat. Welcome to New Life. How can we help you?
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for taking my call. I have a grandchild that I'm more than 6 or 7 days with him. And he's going to a private school, but the other day he told a little boy that he was having sex with his sister. He does not have a sister. He's the only child. And the school wanted to take it further, and I requested that they let me do my investigation to find out why would he even come up with this.
Mm-hmm.
What did you come up with?
First, and I took my time listening to him. And my question is, he's only 7. His mom and dad are not together, but I'm not in control of where he is. So how do I approach him and not shut him down because he's only 7?
Did you say you're not in control with where he is? What was that?
When he goes to stay with visit his father and his mom.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so have you talked to them about what's happened and asked them if they have any insight into it?
Well, the mom doesn't appear to think that there's anything wrong with him wanting to know about sex. But as you know, each state has an issue. If the child brings it up in his school system, they report it to DSS, and a possibility we won't see the child for until they determine that the child is not in danger. And I know he's not in danger. I just want to get
Pat, have you asked him what he means by that?
I asked him what was sex. He says he doesn't know. I asked him, was kissing sex? No. Is hugging sex? No. And then I said, well, then how is it that you would tell another little boy that you were having sex with your sister? You don't have a sister.
And what did he say?
He
just, I don't know. And then I explained to him that they were looking in the process of trying to remove him from my care. And then he went back to school and told the little boy to please tell his mom don't send him to jail.
Aww.
He just lied.
Well,
but
of course.
He's, you know, just talking to him. But then the other day he approached my stepson and his wife and said, so are y'all having sex because y'all are married? And I'm like, okay, it didn't go like I wanted, so I want to know what direction to go with him. I don't want him to be shut down or I pull away from me.
Right. Well, there is definitely in young kids, to one degree or another, there's going to be questions about something that they're aware of and they don't understand. So the question is, why all of a sudden is he so interested? What has happened? Because, you know, you say you aren't in charge, and that, but you also, when he's with mom and dad, but you also say he's not in danger. I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, what is he being exposed to?
When I say in danger, when he's with me.
He's not with you. He's not with you all the time. And I'm thinking, one of the best things that could happen is that the state does investigate and see what is happening in the life of this little boy. Because you don't have a... You know, right. Kids ask questions about sex. They talk about it, but it's not always these kinds of things where in one place he's saying, I'm having sex with my sister, and in the other, he's asking someone, are you having sex? So it's a little bit out of the
There's
ordinary.
There's a little bit of a preoccupation with it. And so he's been exposed at an early age, and we don't know how he's been exposed. Right. He's heard people talking. He's seen things. He's seen pictures. We don't know. And that's what's important to find out. But not in a way that shames him, in a way that says, I want to help you understand what you don't understand. And I want to protect you because you're young. And these are some adult things.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So my advice is that, first of all, he needs any kind of help that you can get him, a counselor, a play therapist, anybody that can get into his heart.
Play therapy would be great.
We'll be back.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. New Life. That's 1-800-639-5433.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Well, you know, once again, we've got someone stepping in and doing the best that they can here.
Yeah, in a very difficult situation.
But, you know, I think it's important that when you step in that you're doing the best you can in the right way. So, Jill, give
her
some guidance.
I had some other things I wanted to say. And I just want to kind of reiterate that it's important that the child feel, like you said, he's safe with you. But it's important that he feels safe with you because we aren't sure that he's safe other places. And so, in the most loving way I can say to you, you know, when you told him that, that they might take him away from you. I don't think that's the best thing to tell a child because children are very concrete and they get very fearful about what's going to happen to them. And so that, I think, is just going to incite fear instead of letting him know that you are there to protect him and you need to know all that's going on with him so that you best know how to protect him because he is safe with you and you're going to do everything you in your power, you know, to help him be a happy, you know, safe boy. And so you really want to understand, you know, first that he's not done anything wrong,
But well, he needs to understand.
Yeah, he needs to understand that he's not done anything wrong, but you're just curious about some of the things that he's curious about. And you want to, you know, talk more about those things. Like, where did he learn about the idea of sex? Because he seems very curious about it. And so you want to explore that. But I think it's important that you both get some help in this process. We talked about the child getting some play therapy. That's a really good way to kind of allow those things to emerge that you're unaware of. And with a good play therapist, that was probably someone you might be able to meet with as well or get some recommendations from. But being in a support group with other parents, being in a codependency group, anything that helps you to, you know, process some of this, because it sounds like you're kind of the sole person in this situation with this boy.
Right. And your wisdom is going to determine a big part of the outcome here. And I sure understand your concern about the state, but also you don't want this child being involved with parents going to their house if there's exposure there. And you have to wonder where all of this
fascination. Right. What is he hearing? What is he seeing? What, you know, even if people think he's asleep or whatever, he's obviously not.
Absolutely right. So you're really going to need to have all the help and wisdom possible. I'm going to see if we can get a counselor for you. Maybe we can find one for him, because I'll tell you, a play therapist can literally change the course of history for a young child. When I was in school, I worked with Dr. Landreth, one of the pioneers, one of the best ever, and it was fascinating to see the kinds of results that could take place there. I'm glad you called. Hold on, and we'll send you a copy of How We Love Our Kids. I think it will help. Let's go to Ann from Los Angeles, California. She listens on KKLA. Hi, Ann. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
Doing okay. How could we help you today?
My question is whether or not I should reconcile with my husband, my ex-husband. I got married in 2003 and got divorced in 2008. Have a child from other people. And the last I heard, he was living with his girlfriend and they had an open relationship on his side.
So is reconciliation even something that's possible given he's living with his girlfriend?
Right.
In an open relationship.
And why now are you considering that?
Yeah.
Well, I had been dealing with a sexual addiction for a really long time. I called your show, I think, a couple years back, and then got really serious about, you know, dealing with my addiction. I've been going to a 12-step program. Good. And I'm now celebrating 8 months of sobriety.
Awesome.
So,
fantastic.
I'm sorry?
That is fantastic.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I called your show. And they gave me the book, Every Woman's Battle. And it took a while to really do the things in there, but it eventually stuck. So
good.
I'm really happy about that. So when now that I'm getting more into the scriptures and I looked it up, it says 1 Corinthians 7:10-11, a wife must not separate from her husband. If she does, she must remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. So I guess my question is, since he has a girlfriend, I mean, last that I know, he has a girlfriend and whatever, like, does that mean that I'm released from this relationship, or am I free to marry somebody else? Because I want to do God's will. So.
Okay. So let's cover the technicality first, all right? If when you left, and then he went, and then he was unfaithful. Did your sexual addiction involve you being unfaithful?
Yes, we both had infidelity on both sides, and I repented in the relationship. He didn't, and then I tried to, you know, patch things up. And after 5 years, I just left.
Yeah. Okay. So I think the technicality issue is that, you know, he if he's sleeping with someone else, if he's, you know, then you're probably not. But that's
then,
just
then
the
you're
technical.
Not bound. Is that yeah. that's what you're saying?
Not bound. Mm-hmm. But that's the technical piece. And the question is, what is really the right thing to do? You know, what is it that God wants you to do? We'll talk about that after this.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live. We have something pretty exciting coming up, and it's in March. It is a trip to Israel. Our trips are very special, and the teaching is rich. The experience is priceless. And we're also going to go to Rome in addition to it. It's the 16th through the 26th.
When I went to Israel, my whole view of the Bible absolutely changed. I had a reference point to visualize.
Yeah. We're going to go where David hid from Saul, Jericho, the tunnels under the Western Wall, and the Temple Steps, the Garden of Gethsemane, Masada, the Dead Sea, Mount of Olives, the Garden Tomb, Caiaphas' house, and more.
For me now, when I open up the Bible, it just becomes alive for me because I've been there.
You will not be disappointed in Israel. It is a special, rich, rich time. If you want more information on Israel, I hope you'll look at it on our website, newlife.com.
Last year, after every man's battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are way back. See right over here, Dr. Jill Hubbard. And here's this big question. Both people unfaithful.
Mm-hmm.
One.
Broke the vows.
Repents. Both break the vows.
Yes.
One repents, one doesn't. What is the technical obligation? And I've said, you know, she was unfaithful. She repented. That didn't mean that he had to be. He had a choice, but he didn't choose to be faithful.
Mm-hmm.
I think on the technicality issue, probably not bound there. But the bigger issue is this. And Ann, are you still there?
Yes.
So, if you don't have a conversation with him about this, you're not going to know what's really going on. And you may make a mistake. You might talk with him and he says, I'm moving out. I've already told her I'm done or whatever. And so that years later, you're not hearing, wow, you moved on at the exact time when I was about to call you and tell you I wanted to reconcile. So I just think it's worth a conversation. And if he isn't willing to have a conversation with you, there's the answer that you've been looking
you
for, right?
Yeah, you usually can't go wrong by at least having a conversation.
Yeah.
Right, and
I guess my question about that is I now have a daughter. He also has a daughter, I believe. But I now have a daughter that's 8 months old. We had an abusive relationship. He was abusive toward me.
Mm.
I'm very stable now with my daughter, and yeah. I'm just scared that if I have a relationship with him again, that it would be tumultuous and it would affect
yes.
my daughter.
Okay, so here's
okay, well, that's,
here's,
that adds a different dimension
it,
to it.
It does.
And this is not his daughter.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. So, how about this? Don't call him and talk to him about reconciliation. why don't you call him and say, you know, I've done some things. I've got 6 months here.
8 months.
Eight months. And I'm just wondering how you're doing. I want you to know the things that I did. And it's not a if I did anything. The things that I did, I am so regretful of. I'm asking for your forgiveness for that.
Mm, that would be good.
And so you try to make it right with him. That's your interaction that needs to be done, right? You're making amends.
Right.
And then you'll have some information that you don't have now, and that information is going to help you make a better decision than you can make today about anything. Because literally, you want to be able to say, when you're looking back, as a believer, I gave it every chance I could. In fact, I even called him when the last thing I wanted to do was to reconcile. And sure enough, he was the same. But you also don't want to miss out on some kind, and it is not frequent, and I'm not saying it's going to happen. You don't want to miss out on a miracle that might be waiting for you. Mm-hmm. But so just get the information by making a call that all of us in recovery need to make, making amends and asking for forgiveness for what
right,
I
that,
did.
Right, that lets him
part.
Know that you're in a different place, right? Yeah. You're wanting to follow what's right, you know, by the Lord. And if he's in a different place, that will really speak to him. If he's still in the old place, then you're going to know that, and he's not going to want to be around you.
Okay. Right. That it's a tough situation. It's kind of the best that we can do for you, and I hope and pray that something good has come out of this conversation with us. I just know there are people that leave too soon without information, and they regret it, and we're trying to help you avoid
and,
that.
And I'm so glad that, I mean, you have an 8-month-old daughter, and you've been sober 8 months. I'm so glad that, you know, for yourself, but for her, that you've made these changes moving forward.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. I'm really glad you called. My wife, she facilitates a group with other women with sexual integrity problems, and oh, my goodness, it's an amazing thing. To see women getting their act together.
Yeah.
It's just fantastic. All right. I'm going to send her Take Your Life Back. I hope that's going to help in that recovery process. Let's go to Victoria from KKLA. Hi, Victoria. Welcome to New Life.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Well, certainly. How can we help you today? What's going on?
I'm married to an alcoholic. It's just getting worse. I want to know how I can live my life and not feel like a doormat because I'm choosing to stick with it. I go to Celebrate Recovery for codependency. I feel like sometimes I'm doing nothing. Sometimes it just feels like I'm doing nothing when I hear people talk about boundaries and all these other things, when you have somebody who's just not willing to try anything because he's drunk every day.
Well, are you hearing that you have no other option other than to just allow him to be drunk every day?
Well, that's where I feel like I've tried the boundaries, and I feel like I guess there's the option of leaving him. But
there's another option.
I'm not sure that's what I want to do.
Okay, here's an option. You are expecting some things from me, and those things make your life easier and kind of allow you to get drunk and not worry about these things. Now, I don't know what they are. It might just be something like you're cooking for him even though he's drunk. Maybe that's not a good thing. Maybe that's not a helpful thing.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying?
So maybe you have to say,
I'm no longer willing to make your life easier while you're destroying your life. Now, that's a very adult, mature conversation, and you've got to choose the right time to have it. And see, hopefully,
and that's
at his
a boundary.
Minimal level of intoxication. That is a boundary.
That's a boundary. You don't have to, you know, pronounce, I'm setting a boundary in order to set a boundary. You are basically saying, this is what works for me. This is what doesn't. This is what I can tolerate. This is what I can't tolerate. And so in not being able to tolerate his drinking, you're not then going to, as Steve is saying, cater to him in that drunken state. Right. And it, you know, a lot of times, you know, codependents, Christian women think, well, I've got to be the good Christian wife. Yes, be loving, be kind. You don't have to be angry, but you don't indulge that kind of behavior. You reinforce the behavior you want.
And perhaps one of the things that you have done against your better judgment from time to time is you've gotten in a car with him when he has been drinking, and you don't literally know how much he drinks. You can go to a restaurant, you can watch him order, and you think, okay, well, that's not bad. And then when he goes to the restroom, he's got a fifth of whiskey taped to his leg. You just don't know. So you have to say, I am no longer willing to drive anywhere with you when you've been drinking. And I'm not going to do things for you anymore that make your life easier as somebody who's drunk every day. Now, are you getting that kind of advice, or are you just kind of hearing it's your job to do nothing, be happy, and let it all just go? Because there's a balance here.
I am getting... You know, about taking care of myself.
Mm-hmm.
I did go through the stages of no work, no food. You know, I don't cook for you. I don't serve it on the table. When he would fall asleep on the couch, I took away the couch cushions. I mean, just mm-hmm. trying to make him uncomfortable in his own home. But now I'm back to maybe. He'll respond better if I show him more kindness, like cooking dinner, including him at the table with me and my son.
It sounds like to me...
How do I know it's normal?
Like it's frustrating, isn't it?
It sounds like to me it's quite a severe problem if you're
it's
at that
very severe. He went to Betty Ford, and he came back, started drinking 3 days after a 30-day program, and went into a... outpatient program and just lied his way through that, and they told him you're just like a compliant client where you're mm-hmm. doing the things because you're supposed to, and he's a real nice guy, you know.
Okay.
But
you know
not
what?
Very deep.
You,
he doesn't cut very deep with his feelings.
We don't want you to divorce him, but given what you're saying, a separation may be the only thing that helps him.
She said, we need to talk. She's asked me for the first time if I would consider myself a sex addict. You know, I thought it was just about admitting the things that I had done wrong. I never had a clue that it was about redeeming our story. You know, I thought it was just about coming clean on what I had done. I had no idea how to help her with her pain. She was a mess, I was a mess, and we got divorced. Going to EMB, surrounding myself with these other men, they accepted me for who I was and what I had done, but they challenged me to step up and do better. You know, they'll be around other men who are not just pointing the finger, but willing to get in and wade through it with them, you know, get in the trenches. They'll get hope from this workshop, take my sweet wife and my story. We were divorced, remarried, and on our way to what I think will be the sweetest years of our lives. You know, it's no longer simply about surviving. For the first time ever, you know, we're thriving, we're enjoying where we're at.
Hey, listen, if you're struggling, we want to see you at the workshop. Give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. And again,
We really feel for Victoria.
Finish up with about Victoria, mm-hmm. is that sometimes you have to do the tough thing, and the separation doesn't lead to divorce. We don't want that. We want the separation to lead to reality.
To hitting a bottom.
Right. And when someone goes into treatment and drinks the third day back, that's when the spouse calls that treatment center on that day and says, okay, so it's 3 days away from your treatment center. He's drinking. How do we readmit him
exactly.
to the program? Because that's what needs to happen. And sometimes it's in that fourth or fifth admission that finally they start doing something for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to send you Take Your Life Back. It's a great book to help you get through this and not be consumed and engulfed by this. And again, our separation we don't want it leading to divorce. We want it to lead to a change in this other person that lasts. And sometimes that's the only way that we can get that to happen. All right. Our final caller here is, she just went away. I'll go to Louise from Salt Lake City and see what's going on. Hi there. What's happening in your life today? And thanks for joining us.
Hi. How are you doing?
Great. How could we help? You don't have a lot of time, but I wanted to get to your call.
Yes. I have a question. It's about how can I...
It's okay.
I'm a little nervous.
That's okay. So you have a question about how to do something.
Yes.
What is it that you want to know how to do?
Yes. My question is, I don't know if I should explain the situation first so you can understand.
Okay.
Or just go ahead with my question.
Maybe ask the question first.
And then we'll get the details we need.
Okay. Is it wise for me to what my sister is requesting of me to take a lead of assisting my mom in a rehab placement? She was previously placed after she took her back from there. Considering that my mother will need an extensive amount of therapy, attention, and care, and might end up with all that load myself.
Okay, so your sister, what I understand is your sister is wanting you to take care of your mother. Is that right?
My mother is with her right now in California because my mother suffered a stroke here while she was visiting me in Utah.
Okay, so she's taking care of her on her own, huh?
So she's feeling burdened. Mm-hmm. Your sister is feeling burdened by the care of your mom after her stroke.
Probably now because we're six siblings. I am the only one who's in Utah and the rest is in California.
Oh.
So I am the only one here and I was trying to help and they came and all that, but looks like they want to fit all to me here now because she was doing great here in a rehab place, but my sister decided to take her back to California. But as she didn't find a good place for her, she's asking me that she will bring back here.
Okay, and the question for us is whether or not you should agree to that?
My question actually is, should I give her a second chance, or is that not setting my boundaries? Since in the past, they always told me what to do and stomp all over me. I had counsel from a small group that I need to set boundaries and not just let them use me for their benefit.
Yeah, okay, so here's what I'm thinking. Jill can chime in after. I think you ought to think about what it would require from you if she came there. Okay, so are you able to meet that requirement if she came there? Or would it require that you have to hire some additional help for you to meet that requirement? So let's just say it all boils down to you need a couple of $1,000 a month for this to work extra than you have now. So you would say to them, if you are able to assist me with a couple of thousand a month by you guys pooling together, I think I can do this. Otherwise, I'm not in a position to do it right now. Jill, your take on this. What do you think?
Loris, I think that before you agree to anything, I like that idea of asking them how they are going to be involved and support you from afar, since you are solo in Utah, and that would be the full burden on you. I think you have to get an understanding up front as to what their participation is. And like Steve said, put forth your needs ahead of time before you agree, because at the back end, you're probably not going to get an agreement.
No, and if you sense that they're just telling you whatever you want to hear, and they're not going to follow through, then that's
right.
Something else also. But whenever there's a parent in need, we've all got to work together,
mm-hmm.
And it's not easy. And no, you should not take that burden on totally by yourself. We do what we can do. We can't do more than that. And you don't want to create a worse situation where you can't.
Yeah, and you might talk to the rehab center where you're at and see if they have locations in California or know of comparable programs, too,
yeah.
Since that's the excuse.
That's right. Well, let me share this with you before we go. We have the Intimacy in Marriage Workshop on February the 15th. And you've heard us talk about it. We are astounded at the results. We didn't know how it would go, but it goes well. It's incredible. People that literally can't stand each other find a way back to how they originally cared about each other, and they build a life together where they're happy. They're more satisfied than those that get the divorce 5 years later. That's coming up the 15th. Why don't you give that to each other as a gift for Valentine's Day? And it could change everything forever. I think it's one of the best things we do. Maybe the best. I don't know. I think it's the best because two people come rather than one. Restore is for the woman. That's March 1st. We're going to Israel March the 16th. And you could still be a part of that. And Every Man's Battle is February the 8th in San Jose, March the 8th in Dallas. And then we are in need of your support here on the very last day of the month. Could you just stop right now, either go online to newlife.com or call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and tell us that you could be part of our after the end of the year or beginning of the year dilemma, where so many people come alongside at the end of the year and then we end up in, you know, where we are, a little short in January. Please help us if you possibly can. And if you can, you call us at 1-800-NEWLIFE and help us. When you support us, we hear this all the time, that then you listen to radio, you hear about the great things that people do, and then you feel part of that. You're able to be fulfilled. Plus, you're just being a good steward. We're not asking anybody to give beyond what they really believe the Lord is telling them to give. That would be a horrible thing. But you give with a cheerful heart, and you give out of gratitude for the things that you have, and mm-hmm. then you receive such a blessing, oftentimes beyond anything that you ever thought was possible. And it's just a wonderful way to help people change their lives. We love you, and we care about you, and we love every Christmas like this past one, where we get these Christmas cards. Families are together. Couples are still married. You can be part of this ministry. We're just going to help you learn or know where to put that money to produce the best results ever. If you're interested in being part of the giving family of New Life, just call us at 1-800-NEWLIFE. Well, my thanks to Dr. Jill Hubbard. Jill, love being with you. So wise, so helpful. Don't forget her books, The Secrets Women Keep, so many other great books that she's got there, Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers.
A few, at least.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. See you next time.
Bye-bye. Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.